Welcome back, everyone, for the latest Packers podcast brought to you by JSOnline.com, PackersNews.com, and our good friends over at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. This is Jim Ozarski along with Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel at Lambeau Field following the 34-27 Philadelphia Eagles victory over the Green Bay Packers, the first loss of the Matt LaFleur era on Thursday night. So I guess, you know, we'll just start there. Close game, and, you know, the offense looks good early again, kind of evens out at the end of the game. More importantly, Tom, six possessions, four from the one, two from the seven, 0 points, and a game-ending interception for the Packers.
Yeah, this was sort of a, I don't want to say, well, I guess I could say a microcosm of what's happened. They just moved the ball better than they have, but they proved once again that the really important clutch stuff that wins games for offenses, they're not there yet. They can't pull it off. I mean, you've got to score from the 1 yard line. On four tries, you've got to score a touchdown. And then you get the ball at the three, and you get the guy who's the most careful quarterback in all of football, and he threw a ball into tight coverage. And if he had waited a half a second longer, Darius Shepherd would have walked in with a touchdown. I mean, he would have been so wide open. I don't know how to explain that. Here's a guy who just will not throw an interception, and he does down in the most clutch situation. And I'm not sure it was the best play call. And I don't know who the primary receiver was on that. Rodgers said he liked the man-on-man coverage he got on the right side with Valdez-Scantling. But, you know, maybe he didn't trust that Shepherd was going to get open or figure how that was going to go. But it was a poor decision, and now they've lost their first game. And to me, it's just kind of a little bit of an example that things aren't right on offense yet. You know, I wondered, Rodgers threw the ball 53 times.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he should have thrown it 65. You know, the way they were running the ball, they couldn't run the ball at all. Aaron Jones averaged 1.6 yards per carry.
That's the second game in a row he's been under 2 yards a carry.
Yeah, they have no running game, and it's not his fault. There's something wrong with their running game or with their blocking scheme or with how they're blocking. I don't know what it is. I know Philadelphia has a good front, but averaging, I mean, Rodgers is your leading rusher with 46 yards and then 13 for 21, 1 for 7, 1 for 3. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so there's a couple things here. So one, the interception, you and I just a couple days ago on this podcast, Tom, talked about, does Aaron Rodgers press the issue a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Does he make a decision to throw a ball into a tighter window? And go figure, right? You know, he finally pulls the trigger in a situation like that. And, you know, even if he liked the matchup, by the time the ball arrived to Valdez-Scantling, two defenders were there.
Mm-hmm.
I think what was curious for me, Tom, is for how good they've been running the ball inside the 10 this year. Aaron Jones did have a touchdown, you know, from inside that distance. And to throw it four times from the one just seemed an interesting decision, whether it be Matt LaFleur or Aaron Rodgers with the checks, no Devontae Adams for any of these plays.
If you're to believe Rodgers and LaFleur, three of the calls were plays LaFleur called. And I'm sure Rodgers had, you know, some say in it, but the other was an RPO that he decided to pass. and wound up being the, I think, no, it wasn't the one that Jimmy Graham went up for. I forget which one the RPO was. But, you know, they ran that bootleg that I'm saying to myself, well, if Philadelphia watched any film from last year or the year before that on the Packers, they know that Rodgers has been running that bootleg on, you know, fourth and short or third and short. You know, they load up on the run and then make it seem like they're going to run the ball, and he just bootlegs out, and the Eagles were completely ready for it. So I you know, I'm not going to lay this all at the feet of Matt LaFleur or at Aaron Rodgers, but I just feel like there's something just not right about what they're doing. And most of the plays I thought that Rodgers made were out of the pocket. He made some really nice plays out of the pocket. And he does that really well, but there's just no consistency. I mean, so, maybe you say 422 yards, that's consistency, but I didn't see it.
Right. Well, so, you know, we've talked about the playmakers or potential lack thereof, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Packers on one hand said, hey, two of the three games, we've only run 50 plays. How can more people get involved? So they go to Devontae Adams early. He sets a career high with 180 yards, 10 receptions, near a career high, probably. But he injures his toe late in the game. So Jimmy Graham becomes the guy. Mm-hmm. Six catches, nine targets. Three of the four passes from the one went in his direction. The fourth down, he leapt near one-handed catch. I don't assume one-handed catches, Tom. I know they're a highlight, but and I'm sure if Jimmy would ever talk to us, I'm sure he'll one day say, that's something I should do. But he was there. He made a few plays. Geronimo Allison, a couple of tough catches. He had a touchdown. But Valdez-Scantling, three catches, 47 yards. Aaron Jones had six receptions, but only 6 yards per reception. With no Adams, was that the issue that there wasn't enough? Can you say there weren't enough playmakers? Because they did move the ball. They didn't get to the red zone.
No, there's not a go-to guy that you throw to. I always felt, when they had Adams, they had Nelson, they had Cobb, any one of those three guys in that situation could make the play. I don't see that now. I'm starting to think that Adams is the only one who can make a play in the clutch with a guy hanging all over him, which happens. You know, I mean, everyone wants a penalty down there, but they're not going to call a penalty down there unless it's really egregious.
So to me, then, I agree with you. Then why don't you run Aaron Jones? I mean, on the first down play from the seven, he carried Fletcher Cox 3 yards.
Yeah.
And while you're right, their run game the last 2 weeks has not been great. Brian Bulaga hurt his shoulder. Alex Light came in, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why Aaron Rodgers had to extend a lot of plays, to be honest. But this reminds me a little bit of the Cleveland LA Rams situation where Freddie Kitchens, sort of after the fact, says, I had timeouts. I should have run it at least once down there. Mm-hmm.
I sort of understand it because the running game was so bad.
But it's so good in that area, though.
Yeah. On the other hand, Aaron Jones near the goal line is usually a pretty good bat. I'm kind of baffled by the whole thing. The second down throw, I don't have a problem with throwing the ball, but I do with you have downs to burn and you have time to burn.
Right.
And so if that throw is not there, I mean, unless it's definitely there, I'm not throwing it. And that's what's so weird about that play. is that Rodgers didn't make it. And I don't think it was Valdez-Scantling's fault. I think the guy who made the play, who, by the way, was just called up on the practice right. squad on Saturday.
Yeah.
And so that is a good matchup.
It is.
But then Valdez-Scantling has to win it. I mean, he has to win it big. You know, he has to beat him off the line of scrimmage, and then he's got to get his body in a
present himself.
Yeah, yeah, and shield that guy off. I mean, Devontae Adams could do that.
Right. Because you can't, worst case scenario, you can't have the ball popping into the air like
right.
it did.
Right.
It needs to go down to the ground.
You can't body catch it.
Yeah.
It's got to be in your hands.
Right.
And I, you know, that's just not his thing. I don't think running slants is his strength.
It'll be really interesting. You know, Devontae Adams has 10 days to see what's going on with that toe. Toes, especially for receivers, can be a real big problem.
And for him, he is so dependent on his feet because that's his whole game, is how quick his feet are. The year he had an ankle injury, I think it was his second year, he was terrible. And, you know, if he doesn't have that, I think he talked about that after the game, that he felt like he couldn't help them because, you know, he's in pain and that's his strength, is using his feet off the line of scrimmage.
Which says a lot because that's such a small window. You know, you're not asking, which is all release and the stem of the route. When you're talking about a 7-yard, you know, first and goal from the 7,
mm-hmm.
right? And if he, you know, that's not trying to get down the field.
No.
That's just stop and start,
and that's even
change
worse,
of direction,
though.
Right?
That's
so,
more
right,
painful.
Yeah. So the fact that he felt he couldn't go. So, you know, Bulaga going down. I mean, Alex Light. You know, we'll have to have some film review there, but there definitely were some times where you saw 70, the back of that jersey.
It wasn't good.
No, and which, you know, we talked about the concern. Look, David Bakhtiari spent some time in the medical tent, which is actually how we didn't notice Bulaga, because mm-hmm. we knew 69 was in the tent, and then all of a sudden 75 is nowhere to be seen. So we'll see. You know, Jamal Williams, of course, the most serious of injuries, sent, you know, to the hospital for evaluation for head and neck trauma after mm-hmm. being hit to the head by Derek Barnett. First play of the game for the Packers. Has movement in his extremities as of this recording. I know his teammates were concerned with him, wanted to go see him after the game.
Do you think their run game's any different if he's available?
I think the offense is a little bit, because they opened up with the 2-back set. And that was now granted, they went down and scored anyway on that first drive, but maybe. Maybe. I mean, he found a rhythm last week. He was, of the two, he was the most effective.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine, I mean, potentially, maybe it's Dexter Williams' time, you know, going into next week.
Mm-hmm.
I find it hard to believe. I've seen some guys come back from being knocked out cold to be cleared. I mean, Devontae Adams was cleared, you know. But
4 days or 3 days.
Yeah,
or
so we'll see. But that kind of showed how thin, you know, when you make that decision to only have two running backs up, Danny Vitale had to be a solo back for
mm-hmm.
for a few plays. So,
and you know, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Some people on the blog were really, they got caught short. Not really. Vitale can do what you need him to do
right.
and give Aaron Jones a break. I don't have a problem with that.
So 27 points is the season high, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it, of course, left a little lacking with the two prime scoring chances to tie the game late, especially Doug Peterson going for two, you know, and giving Matt LaFleur and the Packers that chance,
yeah.
right? I mean, really, they would have had to score and go for two to tie the game if Doug Peterson just took the points.
Just
kicked the extra point there. So,
decision.
So let's flip to the other side, Tom. You know, this defense talked a big game for 3 weeks. They played a big game for 3 weeks, only allowing 11.6 per game. And here comes Carson Wentz and the Eagles, and they dropped 34 on them, including three touchdowns in the second quarter.
Yeah.
A little bit of a reality check, or did they expose some things we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks?
A little of both. I think they came down to earth. I think what you saw was two things. Number one, the Packers are a penetrating defense. So what does that mean? That means their guys try to get upfield, try to disrupt the run game, but as much as that, make sure they have some pass rush in case it's a pass on first or second down. And what just my cursory view of it was that they were all over the place, and Philadelphia was, anytime there was penetration, they were able to create these big gaps. You know, so one guy's penetrating and one guy isn't, and they're just shielding, you know, if they're maybe taking that penetrating guy and just running him up the field and opening these big holes. I saw that happen once with Za'Darius Smith, and they just ran right off the guard, and there was a huge hole there. So my guess is, Doug Peterson studied all that and saw, okay, well, we have a good enough offensive line that we can let them come or take them to where they want to go, but we're going to run these plays that are going to allow our running back to find some holes in there. So I think that's number one. And number two, they couldn't put B.J. Goodson on the field, because if they did, Philadelphia is going to run double tight ends and make him cover one of those tight ends.
Yeah,
he can't cover one of those.
The return of Dallas Goedert was huge for Philadelphia. Now, he caught two balls, 16 yards, one of which was a touchdown. But, Alshon Jeffrey returns, but the receivers, Tom, Jeffrey had 9 targets. Hollins had 2, Aguilar just 1. I mean, they used Ertz and Goddard, and, you know, Kyler Fackrell basically said, it's 12 personnel by the numbers, but those guys are so athletic, they're running 11 personnel play, basically, and really kind of threw that coverage for a loop. Will Redmond was in at safety before he gets hurt. They kind of used that physical mismatch at times.
Savage covered tight end once in a while.
Right. And
Alexander covered.
Right. And, you know, those two guys, willing blockers at 6'5", 250 pounds, so, you know, they actually, the Eagles handed it off 27 times, and they threw it 27 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not counting the designed runs and the kneel downs and scrambles for Wentz, but that's pretty balanced. And they were successful. Howard, 87 yards, 5'8 a carry. Miles Sanders, 72 yards, 6'5 a carry.
It's not like they had these. It's not like Dalvin Cook with a 75-yard run.
No, there was a 30-yarder.
30-yard run. Otherwise, you know, Jordan Howard had a 19-yard run. But they were just grinding it out. You know, 33 carries, 176 yards. These guys have given up over 500 yards, 520-some yards, more than that, in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's baffling to me. Now, we've talked on this podcast a lot about how Pettine will give up some rushing yards. And, you know, I think on any given day, if you could get Carson Wentz to complete 16 of 27 passes for 160 yards, he'd live with that all day
long. All day, yeah.
But in this case, it bit him because they couldn't stop the run game. And then once Wentz gets into the red zone, boy, they're just deadly in the red zone. They'll either punch it in with their running game, or they run all kinds of picks.
And Jeffrey is such a huge factor down there. He had a touchdown, and Alexander was looking for an OPI in there, but Jeffrey's just a big body.
Yeah.
A little different type of guy to defend than a Diggs or a Thielen.
I thought King battled him
really
well. I mean, Jeffrey had 9 targets, three catches.
Yeah, King had the pass breakup on the 2-point, another pass breakup on the sideline, and then he gets hurt again, a groin injury. Yeah. So he can't finish the game.
Yeah, and that's the injury that's been plaguing him since last year, right?
I think that was a hamstring.
Was it hamstring?
Yeah, hamstring in camp, and then the IR. I don't know if he had a groin prior.
Yeah.
Where the Packers were shut out, Tom, was no sacks and no turnovers. First time for both in this season. And Adrian Amos said, I asked him after the game, I said, you guys said a lot of stuff in the last 3 weeks. And he's like, look, we can't take anything back. We played a game. We lost it. Mm-hmm. Tremont Williams said, look, there's no, there were no cracks or any finger pointing, anything like that. He just said it was just one of those where, the Eagles were just better. Tom, there were three of the touchdown drives, mm-hmm. the Eagles didn't even get to third down.
Hmm.
Three touchdown drives were only first and second down plays. And then, and Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster said that, they pointed that out. They're like, look, the reason we can get a rush, the reason we can get turnovers is because it's been 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9. And the Eagles only had a couple of those. They were so effective on 1st and 2nd down and really balanced run and pass. It wasn't 50-50 on those downs, Tom, but it was close enough where Doug Peterson just kept them off balance enough.
Yeah. And they were 5 and 9.
Well, yeah, when they did get to third down, they were manageable and were able to convert.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I really am interested in seeing that for myself, but I also want to hear what the coaches have.
Yeah.
We'll have a chance to talk to some of the assistant coaches tomorrow. I can't put my finger on other than what I brought up, which was that maybe they should have toned down their aggressiveness on the defensive line and figured that, the Eagles were going to run a lot of counter stuff. And I don't know. I don't know. A couple times I looked up and they were pulling guys, and other times they're just, they run a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the Eagles are a good team. They're a Super Bowl favorite for a reason. We talked about it just a few days ago on this podcast that they're a handful of drops away from coming in here 3-0 on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Very good O-line. But Dean Lowry said it. He's like, look, if we want to be one of the best defenses in football, we have to beat teams with good offensive line. We need to be able to impose our will. This is paraphrasing, impose our will on 1st and 2nd down. I do think that, look, you end the first quarter of the season 3-1. We'll have to see the issues or the injuries. If Adams is out for a while, if Balaga's out for a while, even if Jamal Williams, those are huge, huge injuries to watch. So let's set that aside. I do think there has been that little bit of incremental improvement offensively from week to week. The last few weeks, they didn't have these long drives in the second half. They weren't able to put that stuff together. Now, granted, they didn't capitalize. So, we'll see. We'll see if they can if they found enough with these other guys.
Again, their bread and butter play is Rodgers scrambling. I can't really tell you any other play that isn't.
So that was our big question, was what was their identity? So I guess 53 passes, I'm not sure the head coach would want to repeat that very often.
No, one thing I will credit them with is they recognize that Philadelphia was playing really soft and that they could throw the ball underneath. And they were going to give Davante Adams a chance to catch some of those balls underneath. And they weren't going to always have they sort of sometimes had a single safety, sometimes two safeties, sometimes they blitzed. So they weren't going to just take away Davante Adams. And I think they did a good job of finding him and, you know, working off some of the others. But they need, you know, someone who can, someone other than Adams who, you know, okay, they can catch, you know, Jimmy Graham can catch six passes for 61 yards on a touchdown, but they don't have anybody who can really, other than Valdez-Scantling, and his game is not, and Allison, their game is not diversified. They just need another go-to guy, and they're missing Aaron Jones because he's not doing it.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they, what they have to say after this game, and once they're able to kind of break it down and get out of the moment, so to speak. Especially you get 10 days to get healthy and kind of sort through some stuff going to Dallas, which is, you know, that's a game, if this team has, you know, big-time playoff aspirations, that's an important one. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Dallas is going to be in the conversation for home field and a bye.
They got to be just absolutely racking their brains going, you know, how are they going to stop Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, at that offensive line, they got to figure out a way to, you know, play their base defense with two inside linebackers and not get, you know, gashed by a tight end.
Yeah.
And clearly that was their concern.
Yeah. So, no, it'll be – look, I'm sure disappointing – for those guys, it was a subdued locker room, as you can imagine. But I am curious to see what the answer is,
mm-hmm.
right, going forward. And, you know, but again, it is a 3-1 start. And, you know, as Adrian Amos said, you know, we do this a couple more times, that's 12-4. And that's, you know, where you want to be, from their point of view, at least. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. You know, I don't know if this is your, or if Oren Burks will be able to practice next week. I mean, he had enough questions about his game. You know, we didn't see much of it the last year or two, but it, you know, is he at a spot where he can practice at least? I don't know.
Yeah, I would expect that. I would expect him to practice this week. I don't think he's going to be a savior. I think there's going to be times they can use him, but he needs to play a lot. He needs to see a lot of different things, and before he can be of any use to them. I mean, before he can be a good player. You know, if he were really integrated into the defense, then they could have played him today.
Yeah.
He would have been good to match up with those tight ends. So I would be a little concerned. You know, now that the tough part of that schedule comes up, and, you know, they got Dallas and then, what, Detroit after that?
Yeah, Monday night. And then they hit the road stretch.
Yeah, and so they're lucky they started 3-0. I mean, they should be happy they started 3-0. This loss isn't the end of the world.
No, you hung with, you know, an NFC favorite.
Yeah.
With plenty of opportunity to win the game. I did want to throw out one interesting note here on the defense, Tom, only because I did this math.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really proud of myself when I do simple math.
Okay.
The Packers had played with a lead for 190 minutes of gameplay.
Mm.
They took the lead with 13-15 in the second quarter in Chicago and had played with a lead ever since. Mm. Up until the Eagles took a 14-13 lead. And I think that changes things. I think that changes.
We talked about that in the podcast the last time. We talked about what happens when they need the offense to bail them out.
And I think that affects, you know, we talk about these issues with the defense. I mean, it's the first time that they, and I know that game in Chicago was close, but Matt Nagy was never going to run the ball. So this was the first time they really had to defend a complete offense who was, you know what I mean? And
good quarterback,
and then the offense having to fence, you know, and actually, and to their credit, they did. They get, you know, the Eagles went up, and the Packers got within a score. They tied the game, had a chance to tie it again. So it just, you know, a couple turnovers and a big one late.
One thing we're not we forgot to mention is the special teams are starting to fall apart a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened on that long kick return, Tom. I know Tony Brown was injured early with a hamstring, did not return. He's a big part of that coverage unit. So I don't know what happened on that, but that set up an Eagles score. Second week in a row now.
They're getting nothing out of the return game, and, yeah, it makes you wonder if they, you know, the Eagles saw something in their return scheme that they, you know, that Denver exploited, and now they're looking at it. This is going to be a real test of Sean Menenga. I think this is a real test of their whole entire coaching staff because it's young, especially on offense. And now these guys, they're playing some really good teams, and people now know something about them. They got four games on tape, and now you're not going to be fooling people. You gotta just be better.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and we'll see. You know, we mentioned the injuries. Will Redmond did leave. Was evaluated for concussion. Tony Brown. I mean, you're talking about a 4-3 guy who's all about speed that pulls a hamstring and can't return. Yeah. You know, those are key coverage guys. Guys who are big on that special teams unit. Chandon Sullivan got some specialty, some defensive reps. So now you're changing your gunner coverage. You know, if Alan Lazard has to play more because if Adams is out, I mean, so that's the nature of the beast when it comes to special teams, Tom. But you know, again, things to think about. That you're right. A first year ST coordinator, Sean Menenga, has to worry about, and of course Matt LaFleur. You know, again, if Bulaga, Williams, and Adams either can't practice or might even be, you know, questionable, doubt, whatever it may be, going into this big game in Dallas. So, I think that about does it. Anything else pop out to you that we need to hit?
I don't think so.
Yeah, pretty comprehensive.
There probably is, but my brain is not capable of coming up with
these,
it right now.
These post-game primetime games can get a little bit late. So, well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us at the Packers Podcast. We are still fielding names, ideas for names.
Keep those coming.
Keep them coming. Thank you so much
for
emailing Tom. And, again, you guys getting at me on Twitter and Snapchat. Appreciate that very much. We're throwing them into a pot. So everything's on the table.
Yep.
So keep sending them our way. Thank you very much. And,
we'll see you next time.
Yeah, so thanks again for listening. Thanks to Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino for helping us do this. And for Tom, I am Jim. We'll talk to you soon.